Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Hollywood Podcast, covering the latest in film, TV, streaming, and social media. I'm your host, Max Geschwind. Stay tuned for today's episode. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in to today's episode. I'm so excited to be speaking with one of the greats in the film and TV business, Mr. Billy Dee Williams, from Brian's Song to The Empire Strikes Back, from Lady Sings the Blues to Mahogany. Billy Dee Williams' work speaks for itself, which is why it's no surprise that he's being honored by TCM this year as one of their two honorees. Mr. Williams, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I'd love to start off right off the bat with this amazing honor that you're receiving from Turner Classic Movies next weekend at their annual film festival. What does this recognition from such a prestigious film organization mean for you to be honored by TCM for your work?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I know as part of the festival and in a way of recognizing you, there's two films that were chosen to highlight your career, one of which is Lady Sings the Blues, and the other is the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings. Can you talk about the significance of these two films and why it was important for these two to be showcased at the festival to highlight your career?
Well, of course, Lady Sings the Blues I did with Diana Ross. And as a result of that experience, I emerged as a super leading man in movies. I guess one would consider me a matinee idol in the old-fashioned sense. I had introduced a perspective or a point of view that never really existed in movies as far as a romantic leading man of my color and hue is concerned.
And can you touch on the other film that will be screening as part
of
the festival?
Of course, the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars, the Motor Kings, that was about the Negro Leagues back in the 30s and the 40s. And there was, it's very interesting. Back in those years when we did the movie, I think I did it for Universal Pictures. Their whole attitude about the movie was they didn't think that a movie about a bunch of black guys running around the country playing baseball would be successful. But I always felt that the movie was really a classic, and in time it would create a real impact in people's lives. I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah. When you mentioned how Lady Sings the Blues is what kickstarted your career in being the leading romantic figure in films that you would do throughout the 70s going into the 80s. Was that something that came natural for you, or was it something that you felt uncomfortable at first and really being seen as that romantic figure in all these films that really started with Lady Sings the Blues?
Well, of course it's natural for me.
Yeah.
I was doing on stage in New York. I was doing romantic roles at a very early point in my career, in my life. And so, I don't know, I kind of, when I was a kid, my mom used to like to see, she liked Rudolph Valentino in the movies. And I remember as a child, when I was young, I would see the Rudolph Valentino movies. And I said, that's what I wanted to do. I want to be a romantic lead in film. So, yeah, it was something that I kind of, in many respects, I kind of planned on.
Yeah. You talked about how Bingo Long Traveling
All-Stars. I thought it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we saw, your career took off from that point on in terms of you being seen as the romantic lead in all of these iconic films. I wanted to switch gears and talk about Brian's song, because that absolutely, I think, marked the first time for millions of men throughout the world who cried for the first time in a film who hadn't done so before. And it really broke those sorts of emotional barriers, I know, for a lot of audiences. And in addition to that, it also broke racial barriers in showcasing this interracial friendship on screen that had such emotional depth.
It was kind of a romantic kind of, kind of a situation between two guys without the gay homosexual connotation.
No, yeah, and I'm glad you said romantic in terms of Brian's song also, because I read somewhere that you described working on Brian's song as an act of love. Can you talk about in what way it was an act of love for you working on that project and opposite James Caan?
Well, it was one of those situations where it was like a perfect situation. I mean, it was meant to be. The fact that Jimmy and I had a really good relationship and a good chemistry really contributed to making it something very special. And also working with Buzz Kulick, who was the director of the film. The whole experience was like one of those perfect experiences. So when I call, and I always say the only way I can really describe it is that it was an act of love.
Yeah, and I think the chemistry shared between you and Jimmy had an effect on the millions watching at the time, which was a record setting 55 million who tuned in that night in 1971 to watch. Can you talk a little bit about the chemistry you shared with Jimmy that created that emotional effect on the audiences who tuned in?
We were really opposites. I mean, I don't know that we would have hung out with each other, but certainly working with each other, it was a very special experience. He was much more of a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy. He's from Queens, New York, although I grew up in Harlem. But it was a whole different experience. But it worked.
I want to talk about your memoir, which just came out, What Have We Here? Obviously, it's a nod to your iconic line, Landon in Star Wars. Can you talk about your decision to title your memoir, What Have We Here, and how that speaks to you as a person?
Well, I just had my 87th birthday. And you get to be my age, you start thinking in terms of legacy. I started thinking along those lines. And I just felt that it was time to really talk about my experiences. They were really interesting and really very unique experiences since I was a child. And eclectic experiences, which I thought I wanted to impart. And I thought would be, I think, if we tend to look at life pretty much based on one thing or the other. I sort of lived my life in, as I said, in this eclectic way, that gray area. I was introduced to an awful lot of things at a very early stage in my life, and it has continued throughout my life, this kind of eclectic approach to life experience. So I really wanted to kind of express that and let people know that, instead of sitting around and arguing differences, that you can sort of experience and share those differences and make some interesting creative decisions as a result of it.
I want to talk more about Lando and Star Wars, because after decades of leaving the character, you came back in The Rise of Skywalker back in 2019 after, you know, over 30 years. Can you talk about what it was like coming back to the role after all those years and reuniting with that story and that team?
Well, no, I had a lot of fun, especially working with J.J. Abrams. He's a wonderful individual and certainly a wonderful filmmaker. So it was a real pleasure for me to jump back into playing Lando. And of course, he's older, and I as one would assume wiser. I think that's what I displayed when I played the character the last time. So, no, it was great. I had a good time doing that.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about your working relationship with Diana Ross, who we mentioned you worked with on Lady Sings the Blues, and shortly after you reunited with her on Mahogany. How was that different working with her again so soon after on Mahogany? Did working together before on Lady Sings the Blues make your chemistry all the more easier to establish since you guys had known each other for a while at that point?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We were like two little kids in a playpen. And I really had a good time working with her. And hopefully she had a good time working with me. It was wonderful.
I want to talk a little bit about your debut role in film, which was in The Last Angry Man in 1959. And you've been so open about how Paul Muni acted as, I guess, a sort of a mentor for you in your early years of starting out in your career. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship that you shared with Paul Muni and how he was so foundational to your success?
Yeah, well, Muni, I feel very fortunate that I started my career working with some of the most extraordinary individuals in this industry. But working with Muni, at that time, he had just got back from Europe. I think he was blacklisted for a long time in the United States during the McCarthy years. And he had just returned, and this was his first film after many, many, many years of being away. I think he was living in Italy at the time. So anyway, it was his last film, and my first experience. But we had great discussions, particularly about things like acting and the what you can do and what you should do as a creative entity, and without a lot of restrictions. You know, if you're a creative entity or a creative person, you shouldn't be restricted by narrow-minded, myopic, provincial kind of thinking. And so we had lots of discussions about that.
Yeah.
In other words, you can play any character you want to play. And if you can pull it off, that's the most, if you're able to pull it off, that's what's most important.
Right. That's the job of an actor, as you've been so open about. Yeah. I know a lot of these experiences and projects you wrote about in your memoir. For folks who read the book, what do you hope they learn about your life and work?
Yeah, again, getting back to that word, eclectic. You know, I think that's essential in my telling my story. You know, I'm an individualist. I'm a futurist. And that's how I approach my life and in general, and certainly my creative life as an actor and as a painter. But I don't like giving advice to people. I don't like telling people how to live their lives. But I just want to just, in my own small way, set an example of when you open yourself up to lots of experiences, it's very, very rewarding and a lot of fun. And I mean, it beats being pissed off all the time, like so many people are. And I refuse to live my life that way. So I guess in my own small way, that's what I'm saying to the world.
Right. It's like a wasted emotion that's not productive to be angry or frustrated. There's
Absolutely.
No point.
Absolutely.
Well, my next question was actually going to be what advice you did have to young actors and artists who read your book and were really inspired by it. But I guess judging by what you just said, you really see your life as an example of that inspiration for the next generation, right?
Yeah. I said it.
Yeah, you said it. Well, for my last question for you, I would love to know what stands out in your career that stays with you today, a singular moment or character that had the biggest impact on your work?
Well, I think all of the experiences I've had have had an impact. But, you know, the one thing I don't do is I don't, I'm only an actor when I'm acting. And when I'm not acting, I'm just a human being, like every other human being, having, you know, small and big experiences. Nuance is always very important. I think that's really what tells you what's going on, it's all of those little tiny moments that really tell you the story. And I try to embrace those tiny moments as much as possible.
Right. And for my very final question, since you are being honored by Turner Classic Movies, what are some of your favorite go-to classic movies that you always find yourself going back to watching?
Well, Orson Welles' Citizen Kane. I loved all of the Cagney gangster movies and the Edward G. Robinson gangster movies. The Betty Davis movies, the Joan Crawford movies, some of the wonderful swashbuckling movies with Errol Flynn. Obviously from that old world, with the golden years of Hollywood. But certainly, I don't know. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things. So, and I don't go to the movies as much as I used to. But I did a lot of, I used to go to movies a lot. Yeah. So I've seen an awful lot.
Yeah, and they don't make them like they used to either, which is part of the reason.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Billy D. Williams, congratulations on the honor by TCM. It's so well deserved, and happy belated birthday. What a wonderful birthday gift to be honored by such a highly regarded film institution.
No, it's pretty cool. I'm really honored. Absolutely honored. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great rest of your day. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, you too. You stay well. And yes. Then as I end my book, Chandelier, baby.
Yes. Shout out for all the fans out there. Thank you, Mr. Williams. I appreciate it.
You take care of yourself.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Please take a moment to subscribe to The Hollywood Podcast for free on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @Max Geschwind. Thanks for listening.